and my life had changed. The very thing that gave me my identity was now the very thing that took it all away. And then on top of that, I've got 5 breaks in my back, shattered face, shattered legs and ankle, and a spinal cord injury, and diagnosed by the doctors as a complete paraplegic. So straight into spinal rehabilitation ward, living in hospital, 6 months in hospital, 1.5 years in recovery, a real tough chapter of life, you could say.
Welcome to Mic Drop, the podcast for professional speakers. We cover the ins and outs of the business, helping you deliver more impact on bigger stages at higher fees. You'll gain an inside edge through intimate conversations with the world's most successful keynote speakers. Mic Drop is brought to you by eSpeakers. I'm your host, Josh Linkner. Get ready for some inspiring Mic Drop moments together. Today's show is sponsored by Three Ring Circus, the industry's top training and development program for professional speakers. They've helped hundreds of speakers launch or scale their speaking business, earning tens of millions in speaking fees, landing bureau representation, securing book deals, and rising to the top of the field. If you're looking to take your speaking business to the next level, they'll simply help you get there faster. To learn more and schedule a free 30-minute consultation, visit threeringcircus.com/mic drop. That's 3, ringcircus.com/mic drop. Mic Drop is produced and presented by eSpeakers. If you want more audiences and organizations to be moved and changed by your message, you owe it to yourself to find out why thousands of top experts use eSpeakers to manage and grow their business. When you use eSpeakers, you'll feel confident about your business, package yourself up for success, and be able to focus on what matters most to you and your business. For more information and a free 30-day trial, visit eSpeakers.com/mic drop. That's eSpeakers.com/mic drop. My guest today had experienced the highest of highs and the lowest of lows before his 22nd birthday. At just 17 years old, Ryan Campbell set a world record as the youngest solo pilot to fly around the world. He became famous in his home of Australia and was enjoying incredible success until a tragic accident, a broken back, and a paraplegic diagnosis left Ryan in despair. But through grit and resilience, he rose from those flames. His remarkable journey of perseverance helped him achieve the impossible. He is both walking and flying again. Today, Ryan delivers a powerful message on becoming turbulence tough on stages around the world. He inspires his audiences with his humility, talent, and even whimsy, helping them build the skills needed to navigate these turbulent times. In today's conversation, Ryan shares the pivotal moment when he went from a plane crash victim to taking back control of his life and his future. Ryan shares how he developed the proprietary and authentic IP, such as Turbulence Tough and his Pink Cadillac, that are fueling his speaking business. He shares his biggest regret from early in his speaking business and the advice he now offers to new speakers. Ryan shares the strategic positioning he's landed on that it's cutting through the noise and exciting both bureaus and planners alike, and a recent experience after delivering a keynote that left both Ryan and an audience member in tears. On today's episode, my Aussie friend shows us how to reach new heights, even if we've experienced some crashes of our own. Ryan Campbell, welcome to Mic Drop.
G'day, Josh. Thanks for having me.
You know, I've been so looking forward to our conversation. Ryan, you and I go back several years, and just an amazing story. And I've been, you know, so deeply inspired and moved by some of your ups and frankly, your downs. So as mentioned in the introduction, you were the youngest pilot to fly around the world. And obviously you endured some tragedy after that. But just take us back to that moment. You crossed the finish line. You made it. What was going through your head? How did you get there? Just give us a little bit of that story of that triumphant victory.
Yeah, look, mate, I think the key word is story. You know, for me, it's just an incredible story. And it's not about me, but it's about a team and this incredible kind of like normal Aussie family who managed to pull off something that had never been done before. And And, you know, we went 2 feet first into a big black hole when we began the planning of that trip. And we had no idea what we were getting ourselves into, but there were ups and there were downs. There were all the emotions of a good expedition. And, you know, 70 days and 24,000 miles later, we're standing at the kind of the finish line and we're celebrating and, you know, we've broken a record. That's all great and well and good. But we discovered real quick that it wasn't about the record. It was about the impact we had through the story and through what we'd achieved. And I think that was probably the beginning of realizing not just the power of story, but the way that I could, you know, kind of hone my skills in telling it and then go on to kind of create some impact through it.
It's funny because that was the youngest solo flight, but you are not a solo guy. You to me, and just knowing you, you are so focused on impacting others. I know the lead up to that with your mentors was about connection and community. Afterwards, the victory was a victory for the team, not just for you, which is something I've always really admired. So most people never have a high that high. And of course, most people have never had a low as low as yours. So you completed this. You're a national hero in Australia. You have a breakaway success. Everyone knows your name. And then you get into a plane crash. And it was a very difficult time. Not telling us the entire story of the crash, but maybe just give us a high-level view of what happened and what you had to endure to be able to get back to where you are today.
Yeah, so it was 2 years after the end of the Round the World flight. So I'm on the Australian speaking circuit and we've been to award ceremonies and we're just kind of living this incredible spin-off life that came from that adventure. We just had no idea that that would happen, but we were experiencing it and it was incredible. So I really was living a high. I was shaking hands with the royals and meeting Buzz Aldrin and, you know, a lot of hard to comprehend experiences for a normal Aussie kid, let alone his family. And 2 years after the end of that round the world flight, I'm at work, passionate as ever about aviation. And my job was to fly a vintage biplane up and down the coast of Australia. We had one person on board for any one flight, and it was just an incredible job. And we took off one morning, 28th of December, 2015, and it was a normal day at work. No records to break, no oceans to cross. We had an engine failure in that aeroplane just on takeoff. And despite doing everything I possibly could in the next few seconds, what resulted was, as you say, a horrific, horrific accident. And it was so bad, to be honest, I was cut out of that wreckage and taken to hospital as the only survivor. So I was the lucky one and my life had changed. The very thing that gave me my identity was now the very thing that took it all away. And then on top of that, I've got 5 breaks in my back, shattered face, shattered legs and ankle, and a spinal cord injury, and diagnosed by the doctors as a complete paraplegic. So straight into spinal rehabilitation ward, living in hospital, 6 months in hospital, a year and a half in recovery, a real tough chapter of life, you could say.
And I know you know, now obviously talk about that, that's not the only thing you talk about because you've got all kinds of other wonderful thought leadership content, but you really had to figure out how to get through that horrible challenge. I'm sure there are days that you wanted to quit. What was pulling you forward in those darkest days that kept you going and kept you wanting to do the work to get back to where, you know, you are now?
I had this incredible kind of pivotal moment in hospital, and I was in the rehabilitation gym and I'm focused on wanting to learn to walk again and wanting to learn to fly again. And I was in a really bad place mentally, physically. I wasn't in a very good spot at all. But I had this one moment where I met a quadriplegic. His name was Ben. He was lying next to me and I'm there trying to do my exercises, feeling like my life was kind of, you know, over or at least very against me. And I looked over at Ben, who was not a paraplegic, but was actually a quadriplegic, no movement or feeling below his chest down, in his early 30s, fallen over, hit his head whilst mopping a floor, cleaning a floor, and he was now a quadriplegic for the rest of his life. And that was my pivotal moment to be like, wait a second, like Ben would give anything for one chance at learning to roll over, which was exactly what I was doing there in the rehabilitation gym that day. And it was that shift in perspective and realizing that, wait a second, like this isn't just going to happen for me. Like no one's going to hand me my legs back. No one's going to hand me my pilot's license back or my life back. It's now up to me to go and build the grit, the resilience and the toolbox that's going to allow me to kind of, you know, soar again, you could say. it was that shift from like, I want to learn to walk or I want to learn to fly to let's just build the resilience skills. Let's just fill that toolbox. And that will allow me not just to walk and fly again, hopefully, but do everything to my maximum potential. And mate, from that day on, it was just all about building and strengthening a foundation of resilience. And it changed my life.
It's amazing. So you had this, you know, very difficult obstacle. It was a dark moment, not a happy moment, but you made a shift. You made a shift in your mindset and decided to contextualize, you know, yeah, you were in a struggle, but compared to others, you were grateful. And that sense of gratitude and focus and commitment. And, you know, I obviously want to talk a lot about your speaking business, but, you know, first of all, I'm inspired every time I speak with you. You went from that moment, doctors told you you'd never walk again, you'd never fly again. Today, you are walking, you are flying, you are in a wonderful relationship, you are living it out in the best of possible ways. And I'm just excited for you. What does life look like now looking back at that moment?
I have ended up in a keynote speaking business for one reason, not because I wanted to be. I don't want to be a speaker. I want to be an airline pilot. I want to go to work every day and I want to wear the hat and I want to walk through the terminal and I want to do all those things that I've wanted to do since I was a six-year-old kid. But thanks to the spinal cord injury and the way that life has kind of unraveled, I can no longer do that. I'm not physically able to. So it was, I think, realizing in a moment whilst I was learning to fly again that I'd experienced an incredible high, as you say, higher than what most people will experience in their life, but I'd also experienced an incredible low. And I'd experienced both by the age of 22. And I was like, wait a second, like the opportunity is not in experiencing a high and or experiencing a low. It's actually comparing the two. And it's saying, wait a second, like where do we truly learn what makes us the very best version of ourselves? And you know, how do we reach that maximum potential in day-to-day life? And what I pulled from that was too good not to share. So it far outweighed my unwillingness, you could say, to want to share it. You know, it's easy to sell or to share a good story, but it's really hard to share a sad story and a tough story. But that realization that the opportunity to compare had produced some pretty transformational fruits is what led me to the US to honestly pack up my whole life and come to Tennessee and build this speaking business. So looking back at the accident and at the round the world flight, I am grateful for those life experiences because I am a better human because of it. And that's great and all well and good. But if we can take that transformation that I've experienced and we can put that onto others, then, you know, it makes all of that pain and suffering just that little bit more worthwhile, you could say.
It's amazing because you were really called to the stage. I mean, you had an important message that you knew could impact others. And you said, this isn't my favorite thing in life, but I'm going to do it because I need to do it. And I'm called to do it. I will point out, though, that while you are not able to be an airline pilot because of your injury, a professional commercial pilot, you fly planes. I know you've flown to see me up in Detroit and you are, well, not in the exact same way that you would hope, still flying, which I'm just delighted to see. So speaking of flying, you entered the speaking business just before COVID. I know it's not been easy in these times for any of us, and certainly as a newer speaker on the scene. But we were talking just before we hopped on here today, and you were saying that, you know, if you were starting a brand new, there would be some things you would prioritize. What would you now going back, what would you prioritize? Because I know we're all like, hey, we want to get our video shot. We want to get our website built. We want to start booking speeches. Starting over, if you were going back today, what would you start with?
I am no doubt a proud student of Three Ring Circus. And I know this is not a sales pitch for Three Ring Circus, but I absolutely love and I credit that group of people for helping me get to where I am today. I wish I could go back to the first time I sat down at that boot camp and opened up that book, because at the beginning, it talks about the transformation you create. So what transformation do you create? What's that burning problem that you solve? And why are you the person to solve it? And although I could see a lot of weight in those questions, I kind of come up with an answer that I was like, yeah, that sounds pretty good. And then I went off and wanted to create a video and a website and all the pretty things that made you feel like you were actually achieving something and getting some progress behind you, you know, in the business. I regret rushing that process immensely. And even though I'm very early stages in my speaking business, we're seeing great traction and incredible growth. I'm now kind of pushing back on the people right behind me and saying, hey, like, don't do anything until you nail those questions. Make sure that you understand that you have to come up with those answers and you have to believe in them, because, you know, I can't go to any of the Three Ring team or anyone else in this industry offering help and ask you guys to build me a speaking business. There is no golden egg. The only way that you'll find success is to be speaking on something that is true to you, that comes from your heart, and that you ultimately believe in. And if you can find that, I'm telling you, that it just blossoms. And I think, you know, the events industry is it's been around for so long, and the people within it are incredible, but they can see through anyone who is doing this for the wrong reasons, or they've created a lane or a space because they feel like that's what would sell. The moment you can step back and say, I'm going to answer these three questions and nail them, it doesn't matter. That could take 6 months. Those three questions could potentially be worth millions of dollars in a lucrative speaking career, as you know. So answer those questions, don't rush them, and don't get distracted by the fabulous lights of a pretty reel or a nice website. Wait to execute those fun chapters of your business until once you've nailed those three questions.
It's such great advice. And for those that are listening that are unfamiliar, we essentially, and we share this all the time, talk about these three fundamental questions that become the foundation of your brand and your positioning as a professional speaker. Number one, what's the burning problem that audiences face for which you are the perfect solution? Number two, why you? Why are you the right person to solve this problem? And number three, what transformation do you create? In other words, how is the world different after people embrace your message versus beforehand? And so we talk about problem, credibility, transformation, PCT, stitch the answers of those questions together, and that becomes the perfect elevator pitch, the perfect way to position yourself as a speaker. And Ryan, I know you've been working on this a lot. I still work on mine too, by the way. I don't know if it's certainly not rehearsed today, but would you mind sharing yours now so we can get a sense of what does that PCT formula look and sound like for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, our brand is Turbulence Tough. We help create resilient, unstoppable teams. And when you look at it, 65% of employees out there in the workforce have viewed their job as the number one stressor in their lives, right? That's alarming as it is. But what's worse is that only 19% of those people possess the resilient skills to not just ride out the bumps that they're facing, but then to turn that turbulence into growth and success. That is a problem. So we use story. I am a true believer in story. I think it is what creates the buy-in, and then the buy-in creates the transformation. We use story to help create these turbulence tough teams. We talk about the importance of slowing down when we face adversity, as opposed to the natural human want to push the throttles forward and get out of it. We talk about slowing down, bringing an opportunity to analyze, extract, and store the wisdom from that moment in time. And at the end of the day, you know, we've seen this over the last couple of years. If we don't possess the skills to learn from today's turbulence, we're not going to be able to tackle tomorrow's turbulence with any more ease. And so we dive into some aviation stories. We talk about real turbulence on the round-the-world flight. We talk about turbulence from the spinal rehabilitation ward. But then we also touch on a whole completely separate topic, which you know too well. We talk about finding resilience through work-life balance through something called What's Your Pink Cadillac. So we try to use story to create incredible buy-in, and then we try and drop some nuggets of wisdom, we could say, that will create some transformation.
Becoming a keynote speaker is an amazing profession. The top performers earn millions in annual income while driving massive impact on audiences around the world. But the quest to speaking glory can be a slow route with many obstacles that can knock even the best speakers out of the game. If you're serious about growing your speaking business, the seasoned pros at Three Ring Circus, they can help. From optimizing your marketing and business efforts, to crafting your ideal positioning, to perfecting your expertise and stage skills, Three Ring Circus is the only speaker training and development program run by current high-level speakers at the top of their field. That's why the major bureaus like Washington Speakers Bureau, Premier Speakers, Speak Inc., Executive Speakers, Harry Walker Agency, Kepler, Gotham Artists, and GDA all endorse and participate in Three Ring Circus. From interactive boot camps to one-on-one coaching, Three Ring Circus will help you reach your full potential in the speaking biz, and they'll get there faster. For a free 30-minute consultation, visit threeringcircus.com/micdrop. That's threeringcircus.com/micdrop. Amazing. Well, I'm very excited to talk about your pink Cadillac here in a little bit. But before we get there, you use the word turbulence a lot. I really liked how you were anchoring on that word. And that's a word that is authentic to you because of, you know, plane turbulence, of course, as a pilot, of the turbulence you faced in this accident, some of the turbulence you faced as launching your speaking practice. And it's something that is authentic to you, but a word that I feel like you can own, you know, and that to me is really interesting in your positioning. Are you starting to get known as like the turbulence guy? You know, like how do you, if you're experiencing turbulence, who do you call? You call Ryan Campbell. Is that what's happening?
Yeah. And let me say this, and this may be a little bit too much information, but I was messaging my brother after all the boot camps and after all the discussions with incredible speakers. I was messaging my brother from the shower as he's back in Australia in the middle of the night. And we're talking about all these keywords and the branding and the positioning of my speaking business. And the word turbulence popped up. And we were talking about being tough. And I'm a true believer that what pulled me out of that spinal rehabilitation ward was tough love. And we can talk about that for an hour. The marriage of those two words, turbulence, tough, was just like a light bulb moment. And that's what really made me realize that I have to come up with this, not Josh or Connor or any of your incredible team or any of the other incredible speakers out there who've been helping me. I would like to think that, yeah, we are becoming known as the turbulence or the turbulence tough guy. And if it's not that, I'm definitely known for being the guy who walks funny and talks funny. So that's always a good backup plan.
I love how you sort of own that word. And I am a little concerned that you were texting in the shower. It doesn't seem so safe. And then you're not talking about light bulb moments in the shower. This whole thing is freaking me out. But safety aside and your showering habits aside, I think you've done a brilliant job with it. And obviously now it's starting to pay off. It's funny, people often think of the speaking business and launching and scaling as a light switch. Like you before it's off and then you click it and it's on. I think it's more like a multi-wheel combination lock. And so imagine a locked, you know, let's say there's six little numbers you got to get right in a row. And you get the first one or two and you're like, why isn't this opening? And it's really easy to get frustrated and disappointed, but you're making progress. You get that third one and now you're booking, you know, four or five speeches a year. And then you click the sixth one but one point, all of those are aligned and the combination is solved. And then the thing blows wide open. My sense is you're at the early stages of that. You've seen a real lift in your speaking business already this year. And my sense is that you're about to break it wide open. I mean, think about what those combination tumblers represent. One is your commitment and authentic story. One is your, you know, doing the work as you have. You're a wonderful, open-minded student and a humble practitioner of getting doing the hard work, doing the reps. Another one is making sure that you're focused on the transformation that your audience creates and your positioning. Another one might be your marketing materials. But once you get all of those tumblers in a row, then all of a sudden people look and say, oh, you took off. It looks so easy. But just like flying, I'm sure that launching a speaking practice is the same. It looks easy on the outside, not so easy to get it rolling.
Yeah. And I will honestly tell you, you know, the round the world flight was hard. We spent 2 years, we fundraised $250,000 as a 17-year-old kid in a normal Aussie family. That was nothing compared to the accident. And getting back to walking and all of that rehabilitation was so unbelievably tough. It really was. And I'd like to think I'm a pretty tough guy. Building a speaking business, Josh, has been one of the hardest things I have ever done in my life, because there is a lack of control in this game. And you might solve the first and second lock on that combination. And then you get to the third one and you face a little bit of resistance. And then automatically you're like, well, maybe the first and second one were wrong. And you go back there and you start to change things. And now you're going around in this circle, absolutely just wanting to belt your head against the wall. That's where, and I'm not saying it has to be with Three Ring Circus, but find some guidance. You know, don't reinvent the wheel. Go and get the people and place them around you who can say, mate, you're on the right track. And I'll be honest to everyone on this podcast, I sat last year, halfway through last year, on the side of the road, using my personal hotspot on my phone in the backseat of my truck on a laptop, on a Zoom call with Josh Linkner, having a, let's say, a minor meltdown, a bit of a kind of moment in life, to work out what I should be doing. COVID was hard. Speaking was tough. It was hard to get traction. And you told me to stay the course. You confirmed that what I was doing with my combination lock was in fact right. And we continued to push instead of, you know, giving up. We earned more revenue from that point to the end of the year before I went home to see my family for 3 months than what I had ever earned in any job as a complete 12-month salary, wage, or income. And it was just getting that confirmation from you or from anyone of kind of your stature and experience that made me kind of stay the course. So that's kind of my advice back to anyone struggling right now is make sure you you get the team around you that can say, hey, bud, like, you're doing the right thing, and just have a bit of faith. Because I really do believe we're at such an exciting point in our business right now, as it does really kind of start to burn and kind of hopefully catch into a wildfire. And that's only thanks to guys like you. So I appreciate it.
Well, you're the one doing the work, brother. And I, again, so grateful for your intensity and focus and commitment. So you've talked about how you were surprised by how hard it's been, some of the challenges that seemingly looks easy. And, you know, you've been through some hard stuff, and launching and scaling a speaking business can be hard. What were you surprised about on the good side? Tell us about some of the rewards that you faced. Forget the economics. What's it like looking down on an audience that's moved to action? What's it like when someone comes up and gives you a bear hug in tears after hearing your message? Give us a little bit of sense of what's bringing you through, the good side of bringing you through all this hard work that you've continued to deploy on a daily basis.
Yeah, so I'm semi-emotionally unstable, right? You know, at the end of Undercover Boss, when they give deserving people free stuff, like, I'm the one who cries on the couch alone watching the end of that show. So a few weeks ago, I arrived back from Australia. So good to see my family, first time in 2 years. And I went to an event in Idaho, and it was through one of our mutual bureau partners. They set me up. I went up and I delivered a keynote. And I was so excited to be back on the stage. And I have a bit of a deal within our business that I will come and do a keynote for you. And if time permits, I would love to come to a dinner or a luncheon and just be there post keynote to network. That's our extra 2% that you've instilled in me. You know, what can you do to go above and beyond? And that's what we're doing. And I went to a dinner that night. I was saying goodbye to the crew. I'd had an incredible dinner with some amazing people. And I saw one group in the corner of the room that I hadn't said goodbye to. So I went over and just kind of an awkward, oh, I'm off to bed. And a lady turned around and she said, thank you so much for giving us what you did today. And she started to cry. And she said, I've had a really tough year. And I thought to myself, to be honest, well, a lot of us have had a really tough year. It's been a pandemic. But then her colleagues started to cry. And this lady had lost her husband and two grandchildren in three separate instances in the space of 12 months. And she turned around to me and she took turbulence tough and she made it real. And she placed that back in my hands and said, this is why I'm proud to be tough. This is what makes me resilient. And this is how I work every single day to build and strengthen that. And I needed to hear your message. And then she turned around and she made the What's Your Pink Cadillac discussion real. And there were tears, including, you know, from my end, I'll admit. But it was so incredibly touching. And there is no amount of money, there is no amount of anything that will make you feel the way that I felt in that moment. And, you know, we have a whole bunch of those stories, but they are the moments that make you realize that you are doing good with your story, your experiences, and the thoughts and let's say potentially wisdom that you're sharing. So that was a pretty special moment.
What a beautiful story. You know, most of the successful speakers that I know, like you, are certainly nothing wrong with money. I mean, we're economically driven, fantastic. But the real juice is that. The real juice is making a difference, seeing that impact. And that's a beautiful thing. That's the thing that gets us through the long work hours, the nights in hotel rooms, the airport delays. So that I'm glad you shared that with us. So I have to ask you now, you mentioned this story, this pink Cadillac concept, and you and I have talked about this before, but I know, first of all, you drive a badass, old school, big old pink Cadillac because it brings you joy and it's like who you are and you can relate to it and it's cool. Tell us about this Cadillac. Tell us about why you love it so much. And more importantly, tell us the message that we can learn as we discover our own pink Cadillacs.
Yeah, absolutely. So I traveled to Memphis. I'm a fresh Australian here in the US, and I visit Graceland's, the home of Elvis Presley. And like all good US attractions, you can't get out of it unless you go through the gift shop. So I've walked through the gift shop and I purchased this $30 model pink Cadillac. And this car was kind of absurd, but I purchased this model car because I'd always wanted a pink Cadillac my whole life. I just thought they were different and they were cool. And I took it back to my house in Nashville, and my roommate at the time said to me, dude, like, what are you doing? Why did you buy a pink toy car? And I said to him, well, I really want the real thing and one day I'm going to have it. But until then, this will have to do. And I sat it down beside the television. Now, I thought I'd buy a pink Cadillac when I was old and had gray hair. But I was scrolling Facebook about 9 months later and I saw something for sale and I went and I purchased it. And it was a real 1960 2.5-ton pink Cadillac Her name is Flo. It's definitely the worst financial decision I've ever made in my life. But I purchased this car and I drove it all the way back to Nashville from Backwoods, Georgia. It overheated 7 times on the way home. It has been an endless money pit. It is in the shop right now as we speak, getting work done on it. But I bought that car for me. What I discovered is when you drive that car, it's actually awkward because the reactions and the interactions that result were just incredible. We had grown adults who no doubt were all experiencing their own turbulence in their own lives. Grown adults staring at this car, smiling like a kid. They were yelling, they were waving, they wanted photos. They wanted to tell you about their great uncle Chuck who owned a Cadillac back in 1970. Like, it was just incredible. We have found Flo on the, as the main profile picture on 3 separate dating profiles of girls we do not know, right? Like, this car has gone everywhere. So what it led to is this question: what's your pink Cadillac, right? What's the one thing you do for you? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, not quite logical, might not be financially responsible, but it makes you smile like a kid. And the message is that in order to show up better in all areas of your life, you actually have to step back from the desk, just like an aeroplane, right? An aeroplane can fly halfway around the world in 15 hours. It can fly through some incredible turbulence. It's tough, right? It's proven. But as incredible as that aeroplane is, it has to land. It has to refuel. It has to have maintenance. And the flight crew have to rest. And yeah, it can't fly forever. And we're no different, Josh. Like, you know this. We can't work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So what's your pink Cadillac is a really cool way to get this conversation happening within organizations, to get people thinking about what they do for fun, what they do outside of work. And let me tell you, I'll say one final thing. We have discovered some of the most awkward truths in a room. You know, we've had employees discovering that other employees or even members of their leadership team collect houseplants. One lady had 35 houseplants. One guy wanted a pet goat. That was his dream pink Cadillac, was to have a pet goat. We have everyone who, you know, they ride motorbikes or they collect jewelry or they do woodworking activities or they love singing or skydiving or playing guitar. And you know, it's been an incredible conversation starter. That's our job at the end of the day, is to start the conversations that matter. What's your pink Cadillac? It's been an incredible conversation starter to get people learning about each other, stepping away from their desk, doing something fun, and in turn, becoming more resilient, more turbulent stuff.
I just want to comment on that. A couple of things. One is, you know, this is authentically you. You were drawn to this pink Cadillac. You didn't do it for the speaking, you know, juice out of it. You did it because that's what you wanted. And so, first of all, you tapped into something that was authentic to you. But second of all, if you went into a room of people and said, "Hey, we should share each other's hobbies. We should learn more about each other and form better relationships," and everyone would roll their eyes at you. They're like, "Yeah, no kidding," but no one would actually do it. But because you packaged it in the story and there was a memorable visual icon, this pink Cadillac, and then you posed a question, what's your pink Cadillac? That's what a keynote speaker does. They bring a big, vague, cliche idea to life in a beautiful, meaningful, memorable kind of way. And in your case, an authentic way. And I think coupling this what might seem as a frivolous purchase, a pink Cadillac, with the turbulence that you faced, both highs and lows in your life, it's just this really cool combination. You're talking about the tumbler on the lock. I could see how that tumbler, that clicked two numbers right there, and I'm sure it will continue. So it's just so good, Ryan, so good. Hey, brother, when you think about the next couple of years, let's say we're sitting here having an Australian beer together a couple of years from now, and we're celebrating your best year yet. What do you want your speaking business to look like in the coming years as you start to forecast what you're hoping to bring to life?
So I was very open with Eric Termundi, who I know has been a prior guest on this podcast. He is an incredible man. He's helped me a lot. He is so generous with his time. And I remember telling him that one of my industry goals was to sit on the speaker panel at a 3-ring circus event, which just seems ridiculous, right? But that's where I want to be. I want to be able to sit on that panel and turn around and say, "Hey, here's what helped me. Please, you know, walk on the rocks that I stumbled on." And so I'm excited for that. I'm excited to send the elevator back down as I also look up to the others above me and ask for help and guidance. But really, I want to continue to go to events, deliver keynotes, that create incredible impact. I like to call them green light gigs, right? Are we red light, yellow light, or green lighting these gigs? I want to keep green lighting gigs. I want to get incredible testimonials. I want to add video to my reel. I want to continue to build this brand of Turbulent Stuff and Watch Your Pink Cadillac. And I really want to continue to build relationships and trust in the bureau network. That is, we have incredible relationships that are bearing incredible fruit, but it is a hard world to crack into. So, you know, I see that as a challenge. I love a good challenge. I want to keep doing what we do. And I want to make sure that every time we get on stage, we're iterating and we're making that keynote better and better and better. And honestly, other than that, we'll sit back, strap in and enjoy the ride. And if I survive these Tennessee allergies that I'm putting out with right now, I think we're going to have a pretty good couple of years.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, you have all the right characteristics. You're coming with an open heart and open mind. You are pouring your soul into helping others. You wonderful storytelling, authentic history. You're doing it for the right reasons. You want to give back to the industry. So if I were a betting man, I would be betting all day and every day on Ryan Campbell. Ryan, thanks so much for joining me on Mic Drop. I wish you continued success, my brother, and keep singing the praises of this wonderful industry. It's open for us all if we're willing, like you, to do the work and come at it with humility. And I know that you're going to have nothing but continued success. Thanks again.
Awesome. Thanks, Joss. Appreciate it.
After today's conversation, I bet you can't decide if you'd rather see Ryan as a professional speaker delivering a powerful keynote or as a new friend sitting together in a pub to share a cold beer. Here are a few of my favorite takeaways. Number one, Ryan's honesty, humility, and authenticity make him instantly likable, which in turn drives performance in his speaking business. No one wants to listen to an arrogant brag. Instead, Ryan shows us how audiences gravitate to those willing to share their struggles as much as their triumphs. Number two, his journey to reclaim his life and future after a horrific tragedy shows us the roadmap on how we can rise from our own adversity and still achieve greatness. And of course, I'm obsessed with Ryan's pink Cadillac idea. How wonderful to give ourselves permission to do something fun and even a bit frivolous every now and then. In case you're wondering, mine is a Gibson Super 400 jazz guitar that I bought myself for my 35th birthday. 16 years later, she still gives me a Kool-Aid smile. Ryan is already achieving meaningful success in the speaking industry, and he's just getting warmed up. We'll all continue to watch him inspire others, leave an impact on our industry, and soar to new heights. Ladies and gentlemen, please stow your tray tables and fasten your seatbelts. Captain Ryan Campbell is ready for takeoff. Thanks for joining me on another episode of Mic Drop. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite shows. If you love the show, please share with your friends, and don't forget to give us a 5-star review. For show transcripts and show notes, visit micdroppodcast.com. Mic Drop is produced and presented by eSpeakers. And a big thanks to our sponsor, Three Ring Circus. I'm your host, Josh Linkner. Thanks for listening, and here's to your Mic Drop moment.